very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, and welcome back to your favorite figure skating podcast, where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us go, what the fuck happened?
And this is the run through, by the way. That's what it's called.
We're going to run through
a wall.
What happened today? A wall. We are going to do it. Who's that guy that's like Juice and he busts through a wall?
Kool-Aid Man?
The Kool-Aid Man?
Kool-Aid Man. Yeah, we're going to do
Who's juice? The guy who's that's Juice?
Okay, you're acting like that's crazy.
I mean, I knew who you meant.
You immediately went the Kool-Aid Man.
No, I knew who you meant. Good description. Great description, mm-hmm. Ashley. Thank you very much. Okay, yeah. Results.
Wow, you guys. Where do we start? Let's start
with
results.
The results.
I feel like we have to start there.
So, The men's event has concluded at the 2026 Olympics. Your Olympic champion is Mikhail Shaidarov of Kazakhstan. Your Olympic silver medalist for the second straight Olympics is Yuma Kageyama of Japan. And your Olympic bronze medalist is Shun Sato of Japan. Ilya Malinin, who was leading after the short and the favorite for the gold medal, finished in eighth after a disastrous free skate tonight. We'll talk about other people too, but I think can I say something? Can I start with one thing that I want to say?
You're saying things, mm-hmm. So yeah.
It's a podcast. It's actually about saying things.
I want to say something before we do any of the skate stuff about Dennis Ten, who I have thought about for the last 2 hours, who was all alone in a sea of figure skaters who came out of this country that nobody thought about ever having figure skating, where he didn't have any resources, and he won an Olympic bronze medal 12 years ago and inspired young kids to skate. And I'm so sad that he's not alive to see this.
Yeah.
But I keep feeling what an incredible legacy for Dennis to have a man from Kazakhstan stand on top of the Olympic podium. It's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking about that. You know, there's a lot of other stuff to talk about, but I wanted to say that because I'm so happy for Mikhail, and I'm just really happy for Kazakhstan. This is so, it's cool, you know?
It's really cool.
This is such a complicated event because obviously all of us thought that we would be talking about Ilya Malinin being Olympic champion when we are sitting here to chat tonight. So that is heartbreaking. And I think all of us really feel for Ilya, and we'll unpack all of that. But at the same time, the joy that I feel for Shaidarov, where we see him, the camera keeps on panning back to him because he was hanging out in that leader's chair for quite a while. And there was one shot where I think his coach was like, you're guaranteed a medal. When he was in bronze position. And that's where we really got his shock, where he was just
he couldn't believe it that he was on the podium.
Could not believe it.
Yeah.
And so someone who is in a position where bronze would have been such a gift for him to work his way up to silver. Then to work his way up to gold. I mean, when he wakes up tomorrow, I bet he's going to be was that a dream?
Yeah, I mean,
he's not going to bed.
He's never going to sleep.
He's never going to sleep again.
No.
The only person in as much shock as Ilya Malinin tonight is Mikhail Shaidarov. I mean, you could tell that he just, neither of them could believe what had happened. I mean, obviously all of us are shocked by it too, but you could tell. And it was, by the way, so nice to see them just hug it out after the final results.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really nice. And
it was really sweet.
That was classy. Yeah. Well, Ilya went straight to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought that was really nice. Adam, vibes in the building. It's your
vibe.
Vibe
check for sure. What? It's your vibe.
Let me clear my throat. but I guess before I start on It's My Vibe, I would like to say that I too have been thinking about Dennis my whole like subway ride home. I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, it just it, exactly like it, just repeating what you said, Sarah. I know that he's like smiling about this right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
just, it's really awesome. It's really, really, I'm just like, I'm sure his mom right now is beaming. She yeah. is most likely just like over the moon. So
I mean, for his legacy to move on like that.
I know. It's beautiful.
Incredible.
So it is. A shout out to Oksana, Dennis Ten's mom.
Shout out to her.
Now, let's do a little vibe check. It was my vibe, but it wasn't everybody's vibe.
Yeah, that's true. Fair. It wasn't a lot of people's Fair. Vibes, to be clear. Like, we, Ilya obviously was the biggest shock of the night, but a lot of people struggled on this ice. So
they really did. This is now I get it. I don't think I've ever gotten it in a way that I get it right now of like what it means when you guys say the men are menning because.
You're just now reaching this?
I mean, I just like, I understood it.
He had to see it,
it
on the
like,
Olympic stage to really
Yeah, I was
understand.
Like, give the men a little credit. Give no, men they... more credit.
Yeah, that's what, that you know, what I'm always saying is if men need something, it's more credit
yes.
in this world.
I agree.
Yeah.
We've been saying that.
I've been saying it.
That.
Yeah.
Now, there's like a few moments for me, like that I just were really standout moments. And I really think like one of the standout moments of the night for me was Steven Gogolev.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
such a solid, like he's just been someone who has, I just have known that he is this really talented kid and I've seen him do what he did tonight, but we've seen glimpses of it here and there. And today he skated like he cannot miss
mm-hmm.
and that he's just always been here.
Yeah.
And it was really impressive. And he really did an amazing job. He was second in the free skate.
Yes, Steven he was.
Fucking Gogolev.
Yes, he was.
I also want to shout out his hairography today was on another level. I kept on like looking at the screen and he'd just be like,
yeah.
Head thrown back and his like chia pet hair just whoosh.
Yeah.
It yeah.
Well, and also just for the record, like Steven Gogolev, like got us, he like wasn't perfect in his short program, but he was perfect in his team event short program. If he had skated a clean short, he would be on the podium. That's how close he was. Like he got fifth overall, but mm-hmm. he would have been on the podium. He's like 1 point behind Shun Sato.
And how far was he from our radar for a potential podium threat?
Like very far.
He'd be, yeah. You could say like, oh, there's a world where he could make it happen. But
yes.
I would never say he's like a contender. Mm-hmm. And he really showed us. I mean, this season, he's figured it out. Whatever it is, I
yeah.
feel like we've just watched him get better and better.
I mean, yep. I'm looking at these ordinals, and it is insane. It's so insane. Torgashev, 8th in the short program, 9th in the free skate, 12th overall. How does
yeah,
any of
this Yeah, because there was
happen?
So much movement above him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Another really good skate, and also just, like, dangerously close to the podium, Jun Wacha from Korea.
Okay, I'm not yeah. cheering against Shun, obviously.
Of
but
course.
I, that, like, hurts me. That I just would have, oh, he was right there. He was less than a point away. And that
less
fall
than a
on
point.
That quad toe.
It's that fall.
Ugh.
They falled in slow, they fell
they
in slow motion.
They falled in slow motion.
They falled in slow motion.
Hey.
And
the men don't fell, I mean, they falled.
They fall.
Yeah. But it was one of those falls where I was actually kind of glad that it was speed skating boards and not hard boards.
Oh, I know. For a second, yeah, I thought he was that. Hurt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah. He took a second to get up.
Mm-hmm. To unadhere himself from the padding of the wall.
Right. He probably punctured it.
Yeah. It was like his impression was in the memory foam.
one of his legs, like when I want to drain the blood in my legs for like a quick little treat to myself, like that's what I do to a wall. He did that
exactly.
On
exactly. He hit a medical position. But I just every skate that we saw tonight, June just had the most presence on the ice. Like when he performs, he performs, and his energy takes up the entire arena in a way that like nobody else performed like that. Not Yuma, not Shaitarov. Like June was the best performer in this event. He was just phenomenal.
Bauer,
I mean, it's
like, I know that that's his signature, and but every time I see it, I'm like, wow, that's really good.
Doesn't make it less impressive that he does it a lot. No. You know, it's amazing. Yeah. So I'm kind of bummed for him, but I'm also, what a happy ending for Shun Sato, who we last saw basically in tears, devastated that he did not beat Ilya Malinin for the team event gold, you know? And like, I'm really thrilled for him. He's had such a good season. Yeah. And then he had a mess of a short program, not a complete mess, but like not a clean short program. And I'm really happy for him too. It's hard not to be happy for any of these guys. You know what I mean?
I got to tell you, in the building, that I think Yuma was sort of like, okay, like he was like, you know, he was grateful that it worked out the way that it worked out, but sort of like, and then when Shun ended up on the podium, Yuma was so happy. And I think it really was like, Yuma was really just happy that Shun was on the podium. Like that's the way it came across. And it was just really, I just really was so excited for Shun.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also sure that like there, I would feel myself personally, I can't say anything about Yuma, but like if I kicked someone off of a podium that had a really good skate.
Yeah. When you didn't really have a good skate.
Or, like, weird about that.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Right.
I just want Yuma to be in the kiss and cry, getting scores where he's not like looking like he feels so lucky to be hanging on to podium position, you know?
Right.
And it's just because of how he's been skating under pressure at these big events the last couple of times we've seen him that ends up being the case. Like, I remember when he was at Worlds, and this was by no means like Worlds, but at the same time, like, just this reaction of like, oh, wait, I made the podium?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's partially just this happens because, look, if two other people had just done a clean free skate, he would be off this podium. You know, this was just a result of so much mess, you know? Like, Adam Siohimfa, tough skate. Like,
and
obviously,
God, in the six-minute warm-up, he was like rock solid, as was Ilya. So like Ilya was so strong. Like everything that he did in the warm-up that I saw, he just looked really like solid and there.
Yeah.
Calm. From the like the clips that we saw, I made a comment where I was like, I feel really good about what he's about to do because he's not rushing around. Like he's taking his time. He looks paced. He looks like he feels really secure. And then something happened from the time that he got off the ice to when he stepped back on. And maybe
the
not something, but the
Olympics
axle threw him.
The Olympics happened. Because...
Yeah, I mean, if we go through Ilya's skate just as like a recap, because if you haven't seen this yet and you're catching up, like I'll just like... Do you want me to just go through it?
Just go through it so that we can get started.
Yeah, I think... Like, so Ilya went out, he did a really nice quad flip, really nice quad flip. So you're like, here we go, you know, it's done. And you're already thinking, because all the other guys have had big mistakes, other than Shaitarov, who, you know, Shaitarov's total score is like 40 points lower than Ilya's personal best. So you're sitting there,
and
like,
fifth in the short program, like he's 20 points
back. Yeah, you're like, this is over. Like, as soon as Yuma, I mean, it was over. It was like, okay, Ilya, and even like Johnny said, as Ilya skated out, he really only probably needs 3 or 4 quads to win this. Mm-hmm. Like, which is true at that point. That was true. So he does a really nice quad flip and you're like, all right, here we go. He's like, and then he does a single axel instead of a quad axel. It's all this, it's this big wind up. It's whatever. He does a single axel and you're like, whoa, okay, all right. And then he does a quad lutz. But right. Then you got he does a quad lutz and you're like, okay, it's just the axel threw him off. You know, it was his big moment. He got a little psyched out about it, whatever. And then he does a double loop and you're like, okay, the two pops are going to be a problem. Like, it's not like he's falling. Right. He's popping. He's losing. Popping. He's hemorrhaging points. And then he falls on a quad lutz. And then he, like, does a really nice quad toe half loop, triple flip. And then he falls on a double sow cow. At which point, mm-hmm. I mean, I thought he had lost the gold after the lutz fall, the first one. Like, the two pops mm-hmm. I thought he could afford. After the fall, I was like, okay, he's not going to win. And then when he did mm-hmm. that sow cow, the double sow with another fall, I was like, that was when I mean, Ashley was on, we were working the same show today while this was happening. So we're talking to each other. And I was like, I don't know that he's getting a medal at this point. Is that, like, walk me, I want to hear, like, the energy of this as you go through it, Adam. Is it the whiplash that I just described? Like, that's kind of how it felt.
Yep, it's the complete whiplash. And, you know, I'm not saying that Simone Biles gave him the twisties. I'm just saying that she was there.
Right. You're not pointing fingers, but you are connecting dots.
No, you're exactly. You're noticing things. You're just noticing
things. I'm noticing things. Like, this year is all about noticing things, realizing stuff.
Realize. Real exactly. Eyes, realize, real lies.
Now, like, I'm bringing this up where it's like, you know, you had Max Naumov skate earlier, and he gets this big old standing ovation from the audience. You see Jeff Goldblum standing up. Mm-hmm. They do a big thing where, like, Ben and Valentina are interviewing Simone Biles being at the Olympic Games, and she's going to see the quad god. It's just like, there's tons of celebrities here, big A-list celebrities. There's, like, Simone fucking Biles is there because they want the goats to meet. Like, there's just all this, like, energy of, like, it's already been decided. We just need to wait 45 minutes. And as we're watching Ilya skate, it was like, I honestly was expecting, like, we're going to see 7 quads. Like, and I think that was the plan. I don't think that there was any sort of take your foot off of the gas.
No. He's a showman. We've talked about that before. He wanted to punctuate it.
And he starts this program. Like, the quad flip was a great start. And as soon as he starts to go into the axle, you can feel the energy that instead of on the attack, he's like coasting, and he has this like little trip, like he pushes and like gets off balance for a second. And I knew in that moment that was either the best thing that was going to happen or it was going to be the worst thing that was going to happen. Because when I think of famous trips in Olympic programs, I think of Joanny Rochette in Vancouver in 2010, where she trips into her combination jump. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of like this, like, oh, we're feeling so bad for her and I hope she's doing okay. She trips in that short and she like locks in the entire event.
Right. Well, it's like, knock it off.
Knock it off.
Right.
And, you know, I in now looking back on it, I'm like, he tripped because he knew that, like, even if he, like, he's not thinking of winning, he's thinking of how to explain how he didn't do a quadruple axel at that point. And then all of a sudden it's like, great, now he's gonna have to skate 4 more years to then maybe do the quad axel. It's just like so much, there's so much riding on that one element that it's like the focus isn't even on gold. Gold is a given if you just make it through the rest of the routine. And he seemingly, like, it felt like he was, like, back into the groove of the program with that Lutz. But with that footwork, it was just enough time to let everything sink in that happened in that beginning of, like,
I've lost a lot of points. In? Right.
I've lost a lot of points.
Yep.
The loop is not a stable jump for him. Like the quadruple loop, where it's like maybe about everything in this whole event.
Of course you can. But, of course you can.
But I think that by the time he had settled into the first four jumps, he knew that there was no choice. He had to do the last three. And
yes,
it just.
And that's not really a recipe for success when it feels like it's now or never.
Right.
If I don't do this, and I'm sure, gonna lose. Yeah.
I mean, even watching him skate, I don't know if this is me because I'm like nuts and I'm also a skater and we've all thought it and we've all done it. But like the way he was skating around, and not that I'm telepathic, but I almost felt like I could read his mind. Sure. It just felt like I wouldn't be surprised if he starts adding things in or changing the layout. Like,
I mean, we were saying that, I mean, not on air, but Sarah and I were talking to each other saying, like, he could, I mean, even after the first quad axel, we were saying, like, it's totally in his wheelhouse to change his layout and put it back in.
Yeah. Right. Well, at first, too, like when he does the flip, he singles the axel and then he does the Lutz. And it was like, okay, he's like, fine. You know, like, if he hits all his other stuff. He could sacrifice the quad sal triple axle combination to just get the quad axle in if he wanted to. Like, he could afford to do that if he wanted to.
Right.
So that's, like, where our minds were, where Ashley and I were talking about it. And then he doubles the loop. And you're like, wait, I don't think he can afford to change this program now. But you're right. It probably already was running through his mind. Of how do I get it in? How do I do the axle?
Well, he was like,
but how
10
does
steps ahead
that's,
the entire time?
Right. That's so how you have. That's how you. I'm not. I don't mean to talk over you, Ashley. I'm just like my
you're
brain is
passionate.
Stuck. It's just this is how a skate like this happens, where it's like you can almost you gotta wonder what they were thinking, but Ilya does not strike me as somebody who's like stick to the plan, and
no.
I think he was fighting himself the entire way. To do this the right way. And it just was obvious where it was like, this was totally like, this tonight was completely doable. It was beyond doable. And it just felt like his head was anywhere. But after that, like heading into that axle, that's just, that was, that was
think,
it.
Do you guys think that if he had said, okay, I'm going to do a triple axel in the second pass. Like, I'm going to do the flip, I'm going to do a triple axel, and run through my program. And if I've landed everything, I'm feeling good, I'm going to do the quad axel at the end. If I'm not, I do my normal layout. Like, do you think that would have helped? Like, I just feel like this quad axel felt so, like, that felt like it almost took on more importance than winning the gold medal.
Yes.
And I'm not
saying
that in his mind.
It was more important.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he got, like, there was something going on in his head, and not even just in his head. I'm producing a show where we talked ad nauseum about the quad axle, you know? And, like, we have, you know, hosts on our show that don't watch figure skating normally, right? They're like football guys, right? And that makes them actually great hosts for this because they're really curious about everything. And the thing that they were so interested in was the quad axle. Like, that was the thing. And that was, I mean, Ashley is probably sick of talking about the quad axle. Like, it's been, because it's what they want to ask her constantly.
Yeah. It's all I've talked about for the last week.
Right.
He's not even close to skating yet, and we're talking about a quad axel.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Sarah, your point about, or your question about him attempting the quad axel later in the game, I think there's a couple things at play here. Like, would that have been a better option? Sure, but I just don't think on dead legs trying to make Olympic history that you've promised is going to happen. Not he's promising, but, like, everyone's saying it's going to happen. I don't think that's an option. And then I can't help but wonder if, you know, seeing that Shaidarov just put out a 5-quad program. Not that I think he felt like he was in direct competition with Shaidarov, but I do think that he was understanding that this high-risk element for him has to go right, or it doesn't necessarily buy him the wiggle room that's kind of assumed.
Mm. I mean, this is what I'm thinking, and I've been like feeling like my heartbeat fast, beating faster and faster as the Olympics have gone on, where, you know, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but like there was a moment where he sent it, there was a planned protocol that was going around where he was going to do a quad axel in the short program in the team event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just felt like this jump that we're going to be talking about, and we kept talking about it, and we're going to see it, and we're going to see it. And he had these 3 programs that went on, and it was like, nope, it's in the next one. Nope, it's in the next one. And it just was mm-hmm. like, that's almost why I'm I feel like it's great that Amber Glenn has like the first skate and that her, the triple axel on Olympic ice, like out of the way. Yeah. That like, I think that it was the right strategy to keep a good pace throughout the event for Ilya, not to do the quadruple axel. Like that was obviously the mentality. But the other flip side of it is that it was just this one thing that was looming, 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 that everybody had talked about mm-hmm. it. Everybody was looking for it. What are we going to see? He's the only one that's ever done it. He's the quad god. And it was this thing where it just had to be like, you didn't see it now, but you're definitely going to see it here. And I know you didn't mm-hmm. see it again, but you're definitely, just wait, you're going to definitely see it here.
You were saying that. That's literally what I have been saying all week.
All of us. And I've been feeling this looming, like, oh God, there's a lot of pressure down to that one thing. And whether he did it or not, like, that wasn't going to be the be-all, end-all, but because he's been winning by such margins, and he knows this, that like he can afford mistakes. We mentioned this multiple times here too, that like he was probably going to be fine for 2 major falls on rotated jumps, right?
On rotated jumps, yeah.
He probably could have popped 2 things, and to be honest, with this planned program.
I mean, yes. I still thought that he
especially
was
with
fine
the way the other men
the
skated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I said after the loop, I remember saying like in Ashley's ear, we were talking, I was like, he can't afford that again. He cannot afford another mistake now. He's like, now he's popped 2 things. He cannot, like, and then he did.
I don't even know what score he needed, but he needed like a 186. Like,
which is nothing for him.
Yes, exactly. Like, mm-hmm. he easily could have gotten a 196 with mistakes. 86,
Tara,
excuse me.
Said on the NBC show that he lost something like 70 points in that program.
I mean, if you just even think of the last combination, like, I mean, he lost 2 combos. Those were 2 things he messed up. That's 4 jumps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And his combos aren't like triple toe. It's triple axel.
Right. No, it's a quadruple sow cow triple axel. Sow.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's and like then that you go to jump isn't.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, then you go from that, and then like, what do you think is worth more, that or a double sow cow fall?
Yeah. I mean, we can go through the what ifs to the end of our days. I just feel like, you know, he finished that program. He knew that it was done. And it was one of those moments where you could tell that if he was given the opportunity to go right back to the starting position and skate it again, he'd have done it clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
my heart broke for him in that moment.
Absolutely.
It's just like, you know, we can say anything, like whatever, like, you know.
Well, like, I mean, he said, look, there's what ifs all over, right? I mean, he said in the Kiss and Cry, like, if they sent me to Beijing, this wouldn't have happened, or I wouldn't have skated like that. There mm-hmm. are like, and you know what? He's probably right. That doesn't mean that like
maybe
we can rewrite. That, yeah, maybe, we don't know. And like, that doesn't mean we can rewrite that history either, you know, like we can't. And I totally understand. I'm not even judging him for saying that. He's probably right. Like, you know, if he had gone to an Olympics before, maybe. But maybe not. We don't
know. Said that
he said it in the Kiss and Cry.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, but I'm not judging him for saying that at all. It's like, I'm sure a million things run through your mind after a skate like that. And it's like, and I really respect the way he has conducted himself afterward. Mm-hmm. Like, he went to Andrea Joyce and he said, you know, the Olympic atmosphere, like, there's nothing like this. And, you know, people who have been here know that, but it's really hard to describe. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing, I don't, you know, but he said, I blew it. And yeah. I, you know,
he owned it.
Yeah. And he was like, you know, my only thought was basically there's no way that just happened, you know, but he's like, he owned it. He congratulated Shidorov. He, you know, he said it's real, right? That pressure and that feeling. I don't know it, you know, you guys know it, but like the Olympics never.
There's nothing like it.
You know,
there's nothing like where they're like, hey, do you have 5 minutes to do this thing with Snoop Dogg? When in any other like event, yeah. you're like,
you'd
go to
no.
the hotel. Right. And you'd
you
say
would
no.
Say no.
But for like right. us in this sport, it's like there's a balance of like trying to take advantage of every opportunity that the Olympics mm-hmm. brings. But mm-hmm. yet at the same time, making sure it doesn't distract at all from what you're doing, like what the goal is, and there's no real way of knowing what's gonna work and what's not gonna work.
No, and everybody's different. I mean, so you can't. There's no rules for that apply to everyone.
Every day is different.
How many people have gone into the Olympics in his position? And I'm not saying as overwhelming favorites, but as someone who people are saying is the greatest of all time that still hasn't largely been tested on a stage of this scale mm-hmm. that is making history, and it's a guarantee that he makes history. I feel for all of these athletes where in all of my notes, it's like they could make history if they do X, Y, and Z. And I feel like the majority of the athletes who've been in a history-making position have not accomplished that because nothing is harder to wrap your head around than the idea if I just go and do my thing, I will make history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, let's look at some of the best performances of the Olympics so far. There are people who were just trying to, it didn't, results were regardless. It was just, I needed to just do my best. And when I think of those, mm-hmm. I think of like Yuma in the short program, Matteo Rizzo in the team free skate. Piper and Paul in the free dance.
Max Naumov in the short program. Like these
Max
people who
exactly
100%. And I think like it's tough. You know, it's really tough. But it's true. I saw a tweet. I showed it to Ashley this week. Like someone said, and I'm not making fun of Ilya. It's just somebody tweeted like, God, it must be so amazing to go to the Olympics and have no medal chance whatsoever and just be vibing. And it's like, yeah, kind of, you know, because there's
I can
like,
tell you it is.
Yeah. Right. It's like there's no I don't want to say no pressure because obviously you put some on yourself of like, I want to do my best, you know, and I want to show my best self on this stage that I've worked hard to be at. So it's not no pressure, but it's a totally different kind. And
it's different expectations.
Yeah.
And when people have expectations of you, you put them on yourself. And when nobody has any expectations of you, they just go, have fun and do your best. Like, that's what Shidorov had been off of a lot of podiums this year at Grand Prix events.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that we said it during lore and when we were talking this summer that like his coach, Alexei Armanov, not a world champion, snuck in and was skated mm-hmm. the best at the 1994 Olympics and came away where Kurt Browning was the favorite and came away with the gold medal.
History
incredibly
itself.
Reminiscent of his own fucking student.
Yeah. I mean, history.
As a team, I'm so pumped for them.
Yeah. History always repeats, you know, like we did watch this happen to Nathan Chen 8 years ago. You know, Nathan Chen, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say Nathan Chen gave him the twisties in the building, but I am going to say he was there.
So you're not, you're just noticing,
noticing things. But
real eyes,
we have
real
a lot
eyes,
of other things that
eyes.
Are really being pulled in here. But we have someone who had the twisties and we had someone who had a disastrous first Olympic outing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in some ways.
All came together.
Look, in some ways it's like.
And me.
I hope
and it was Friday the 13th.
I hope he did meet Simone after. I hope he did see Nathan after, because those people like can tell him.
This happens.
This, we've seen this happen to all kinds of athletes. And it's not the end of your career, and it's not the end of your life. And, you know, it doesn't bar you from becoming an Olympic champion in 4 years, because both of those people did it 4 years later. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
I am almost like, I hope he did get to talk to them. You know what I'm saying? Because they probably feel
they both get
for
it.
Him more than
they
anyone.
Yep.
They've been there.
Yeah.
And now think of his Olympic story in 4 years.
Totally. It's redemption. It becomes
He's
redemption.
Chasing Olympic gold. And that's going to be so interesting to follow. And I do wonder, what do you guys think for Shaidarov? Does he just need to be like, thank you for this amazing season. Good night.
Like, no,
not go to Worlds, or you
He's
think
so,
he goes to Worlds?
Oh, I see.
He goes to Astana and he does the 1 month parade that they're gonna give him.
Correct.
Yeah, that's agreed.
I think he needs to go and enjoy not his life. This is not the end of his career. But
his spring. He should go enjoy the spring.
Go
while the rest of these men
get a
need
haircut. Get your braces off.
I'm going to tell you something. I do need Yuma Kageyama to, you know, go back to practice and go to Prague and give me this clean free skate one time. I don't care if it's triples.
Yeah.
Please. I just want to see
care
it.
Either.
I don't care if he wins.
Yeah.
I don't care. I want to see the program clean so badly.
Ugh. I know. When that music is like, you know, we've heard Ness and Dorma 1 million times at a skating competition, but when we just got the little taste of it, I was like, everyone is a fucking fool for not pulling out, wheeling Andre Bocelli from the opening ceremony and just giving the Ben Augusto mic.
Flammable suit.
Yes, on fire.
I do
like,
want to say,
we're
speaking
all
of
fools,
speaking of celebrity, no, but yeah, sure. Speaking of fire, speaking of smoke, I did feed into our host's ear today before Daniel Grossel went that the Vatican is 300 miles southeast of this ice arena and Stanley Tucci is in Milan as we speak for the Olympics, and here is Conclave. And he said all of it. And then somebody in the control room was like, okay, if he skates clean, maybe Scott should say gold smoke coming from the Vatican right now. Which I did think would have been amazing. He did not skate clean, but gold smoke coming from the Vatican would have been
he said
a hit
something
line.
Along the lines... That would have been amazing. Yeah. He ended up saying something along the lines of, I don't know if we ended up seeing any smoke. And to which I said, I don't really know that much about religion, but I think he became the Pope. And then off air, he was like, I'm so sorry. Usually when there's smoke, it means there's a Pope. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, he apologized to Ashley for putting her on the
everyone...
spot.
And I'm making run-through jokes on a television show that's not for...
I also just want to shout out. So when I have been taking the subway back from all of the events, I run into tons of run through listeners who are like, are you going to go record the podcast right now? So we have a ton of people who are listening, and I'm just going to shout out all of those people that I ride the subway with. You were right. I was coming to record the podcast.
Maybe we need to figure out how to do a live show in Prague.
You mean twist my arm to go to Prague?
I know, right? Like, maybe we need to do it. I'm just saying.
Who wants
I'll
to
bring
pay
my
for a trip to
Will
Prague
you bring your
us?
Speaker? Will they allow it on your little bus plane?
No. No, they won't. They surely will not. Well.
Is there any other,
congratulations to the men's podium.
shout outs that Sarah. Either of you want to do right now? I mean, I think we'll do a more, we'll do some more deep dives as
we'll do a more like
process post Olympics. But this is just, but
yes,
this is the immediate. This is
the immediate like whiplash. We just need to.
We needed to get this. We need to get this out there for all of you.
This is the unfiltered from Milan. That Adam put out a bonus episode yesterday on the Patreon, Unfiltered from Milan, which is a fun listen. Who knows if there's more Unfiltered from Milans in our future? I hope so. Ashley and I are literally as surprised as all of you if there's an Unfiltered from Milan. We just have to wait and see.
You just have to wait and see.
Yes, but if you are listening and want to know more about that, Sarah is referring to our Patreon.
Oh, right.
Which is so fun.
It is.
The best
place
so to be.
It's so fun. Oh, my God. You guys.
It's so fun.
For the price of a coffee, you can listen to Adam Rippon be unhinged in Milan. Sorry, unfiltered.
Unfiltered and unhinged.
Today, they had me dressing up as a police officer at the Duomo with Maria Taylor. So, yeah, it's unhinged.
Yes.
Wait, really quickly, speaking of police officers,
uh-huh.
So the way that they fastened my mic to my outfit today is what they use to fasten body cams to police officers.
Okay, that's the end of
the
episode.
So I felt like I was ready to take away people's rights and disregard the Constitution all day long.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just another Friday the 13th for you, so.
In Connecticut.
Well, that's it. The pair short program is the 15th. We have a day of rest.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
The pair short program is on Sunday. This Friday the 13th did deliver some Friday the 13th-ness.
Inauspicious.
Yeah. Ooky, spooky, and
spooky,
kooky.
Spooky, spooky, spooky. Thank you for listening, everyone. Send us your comments. Send us your concerns. Send us your questions. We love you.
Yes. We love you.
Okay, everybody.
Okay.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.